We all need to be self-controlled and alert. I don't just need to be controlled and alert in relation to myself, but I need to be alert to those around me also. Be alert to those who God has placed next to you, who may be struggling or wandering or in spiritual danger. Don't turn a blind eye to that.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we're continuing a message we began last time. It's called New Destiny. And, you know, a great challenge for us just a moment ago that we are to be aware of the spiritual temperature of those around us, because we want to bring as many people as we can with us to heaven.
Yeah, it's very significant that when the Bible says you, sometimes it means you singular, but often it means you plural. It means believers together. Watch out for each other. Be sober-minded together. Be encouragers of each other. And that's a huge piece in terms of the spiritual battle.
It is, because so often as we go out and try and fight that battle individually or by ourselves, we're weak, we're vulnerable, but there is, in a sense, unity in numbers.
Yeah, you know, I was watching a nature program just the other evening and seeing an attack on an animal that had got away from the rest of the herd.
Yeah.
And that's how Satan operates. If he can get Christians isolated, usually he can get them discouraged. Often he can get them cynical. And then out of that, they become vulnerable. So there's a real togetherness, and that's part of the importance of the church.
And we're going to see that in today's message. So I hope you will open your Bible and join us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 as we continue New Destiny. Here's Pastor Colin.
A church is a community of believers in one locality who have been drawn together by the common experience of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And God's purpose is not just that you and I should belong to Jesus, but that we should be part of an identifiable flock of God's sheep under the care of shepherds or trusted spiritual leaders. Notice how Peter speaks of the flock that is under your care. So I want us to think from 1 Peter in chapter 5 today about the flock, about the shepherds, about the dangers that the flock faces, and then finally about the destiny that belongs to all of God's people together. So I hope you have your Bibles open at 1 Peter in chapter 5. First of all, the flock. Now, one of the exciting things that I think is happening today is that there is a new interest in community. After years of hyper-individualism and consumerism, we've got a new generation arising, often folks who have not experienced deep or stable relationships in the context of family, and they are longing to find and searching for authentic community. It's not just that God wants you to be a follower of Jesus. It's that God wants you to be part of a community in which relationships in that discipleship are worked out together. Now notice secondly the shepherds, because any community must have leaders. And Peter begins chapter 5 with some special words of encouragement for Christian leaders. He speaks about elders in the church, and from earliest days the church had spiritual leaders who were elected or appointed and given responsibility to shepherd God's flock. Now, Peter has already told us that Jesus is the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. And again in chapter 5 and verse 4, he talks about Jesus as the chief shepherd. But he also speaks about these elders as being called by Christ to care for the flock. They are overseers. Do you see that word there? They are to oversee the flock. The word elder is very similar to the word pastor, which of course means shepherd. The names given to spiritual leaders may vary in different churches or groupings, but the principles are the same, that the church is to recognize spiritually mature people who are to give oversight to the gathered flock of God. The flock, the shepherds. Thirdly, the danger. Here we are, the flock of God. We have shepherds who care for the flock. There's danger for the flock of God. Look at verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, when Peter says, your enemy, you see that phrase, your enemy, it's not you in the singular, like one individual's enemy. It's plural. He's talking about the enemy of the community. He's talking about the enemy of the flock. He's talking about the enemy of the whole church. The enemy of the whole group is like a lion, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And you see how that follows from the picture of us being like a flock, and there are shepherds, but there's a lion, there's an enemy. There is danger out there for the flock of God. The church is a community of believers. We're making this journey through life together. We are the flock of God. But we have a serious enemy who wants to devour God's people, and that is why we all need to be self-controlled and alert. I don't just need to be controlled and alert in relation to myself, but I need to be alert to those around me also. Be alert to those who God has placed next to you, who may be struggling or wandering or in spiritual danger. Don't turn a blind eye to that. When God says, do it as a community together, where there are people who care for one another and encourage one another and look out for one another, because there are dangers as we try to live the Christian life in this world. I thank God for people in my life who knew me well enough and were discerning enough to know when I was struggling and at the right moment to come alongside. That is why relationships are so important in the body of Christ. Church is more than a place that you come for an hour on Sunday to worship. This is the place where relationships are to be formed, in which we do the Christian life together. That's God's purpose for us. Here we are on this safari, and there's a large crowd. It's a helpful and an obvious thing that we're organized in groups so that there can be meaningful relationships in which people care for each other in this dangerous world as we move through life together serving Jesus Christ. So the flock, the shepherds, the danger, and finally the destiny. Now here we come to some marvelous words of encouragement beginning in verse 4. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And this promise is not just for elders, but for all who serve Christ faithfully. Leadership is just one spiritual gift. The body of Christ functions effectively when everyone uses the gifts that God has given. Now, when Peter talks about a crown, he's talking about a symbol of honor. And I have to say, I'm not sure I find the idea of walking around with a crown particularly attractive to you. I honestly don't even like to wear a hat. So the idea of spending eternity with a lump of gold on my head doesn't particularly get to me. So I'm very thankful that Peter does not say that you'll receive a crown of gold, but he does say that you will receive a crown of glory. You see, back in the Old Testament, God said, those who honor me, I will honor. And I think that's the best way to understand what Peter is saying here, that the one who serves Christ well in this life will be highly honored in the presence of God for all eternity. And then Peter takes this theme up again in verse 10, where he speaks of the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory. And again, he's speaking of the whole group. We're moving through this dangerous world, but we're all called to his eternal glory in Jesus Christ. Glory is simply the word that we use to describe the brightness and the splendor of the immediate presence of God. God calls you to share the brightness and the splendor of his immediate presence for all eternity. And this is an act of his grace. It's the God of grace who calls us to his eternal glory, because, of course, it took the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to open the way. But this is where the Christian life comes. This is our destiny. And when you are in glory, God's glory will be in you. It's not just that we will be surrounded by the brightness and splendor of God's immediate presence, but the brightness and splendor of God's immediate presence will be reflected in us. We will be in glory, and His glory will be in us. That's why the Bible says when we see Him, we will be like Him.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called New Destiny, the final in our series, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. Hey, we're going to get back to the message in just a moment, but while I have a second, I want to let you know that Pastor Colin has written a book by the same title. It's based on this series, and it is our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift and support this ministry this month. And since we're down to just the last few days of the month, I want to remind you that if you've been thinking about giving a gift, supporting the ministry, and requesting a copy of 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, I want to encourage you to do so today. Just come to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 877-OPEN-365. All right, back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
When you are in glory, God's glory will be in you. Let's take just a moment to reflect on that. Is it good to think about the destiny of a Christian believer? Think about your capacity in glory. See, Christ wants to do so much more than forgive your sins. He will do so much more than forgive your sins. He will renovate your entire nature, body, soul, spirit. Your body will be transformed. Your mind will be renewed. Painful memories will be healed. Your entire soul will be redeemed. You will have the capacity to live as you always wished you could. In glory, you will be everything that God created you to be. You will love God and others with a pure and complete love. You will have desires that are completely aligned with all that God purposes for you to do. And your energies will be constantly renewed and perfectly matched to every calling that God gives to you. You will be more at home and more yourself than you have ever felt in all of your earthly life. Not only will you be given that glorious capacity, but think about the dimension of community. He's talking about us in the presence of God. I find it very significant that when the Bible talks about everlasting life, it talks about a holy city. Now, a city speaks of a vast crowd of people, doesn't it? And a holy city, a vast crowd of people living in harmony together. C.S. Lewis wrote about heaven and hell in a book called The Great Divorce. It's a piece of fiction, but his imagination has helped me to grasp something important about this dimension of heaven and hell. Lewis describes a tourist arriving in hell, which he pictures as a dreary town where it always rains with rows and rows and rows of identical houses. And when he arrives there, he finds that the vast majority of these houses are empty. And so the tourist eventually finds someone and says, "I don't understand. I thought this place would be vastly populated. Why are all these houses empty? I can only find one or two scattered individuals." "Oh," says the queer person he meets, "the reason is very simple. The neighbors here are so quarrelsome. As soon as anyone arrives, he settles into a street, and within 24 hours, they've had an argument, so he moves on. Settles in another street, there's another argument with another neighbor, and so he moves on. And this is how this town grows. They're always putting up more and more and more houses, pushing the boundaries of the town out further and further and further, as greater and greater distance exists between people who can't stand the sight of each other." That's hell. That's hell. It's a whole dimension of what it is to be lost, to be out of relationship. Lewis says, "This is one of the big disappointments. I thought you'd meet interesting people like Napoleon," and he lists a whole lot. "But you don't," he says, "they're all too far away." People moving on and on and on, getting further and further and further apart. But the glory of heaven is that God brings a community together. Capacity, community, clarity. Think of this. Now we see but a poor reflection. Then we will see face to face. Mysteries that you and I can't begin to understand now will be made known. And in the light of that knowledge, God will wipe away all tears from your eyes. Immediacy. Think of this, you will know the immediate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see him. God himself will be with his people, and Christ will be the shepherd who leads us into all the joys of everlasting life. And think of the beauty of this world. Think of the beauty of this fallen world. And God says, I will make a new heaven and a new earth. And your redeemed senses will be filled up with the beauty of God's restored creation. Think of the variety. Think of the variety of pleasures that we know in life now. People to meet, places to go, challenges to overcome. Mountains to climb. The only limitations on us are time and space. I mean, imagine if we could take a trip to the 16th century this afternoon, just for an hour or two. Imagine if we could take a stroll this afternoon on the Great Wall of China, just to be there. See, the limitations upon us are time and space. Take away the limitations of time and space, which is what eternity does, and you have an unimaginable variety of experiences. You will never be bored in eternity. You will never say, been there, done that. Life will be filled with pleasures from the Creator God's almighty hand, and they will always be new. And think of the safety. No threat of natural disasters, no enemies, no attacks, no dangers, no accidents, no violence, no threats. You will be free to savor the joys of life without fear. Think of the creativity. Creativity, of course, is the gift of the Creator. I think about the creativity that is experienced among us even here and now. I think of what a choir, an orchestra can do in concerts, what construction people can do in building, what organizing people can do in putting on a magnificent celebration of the church's 50th anniversary. And you say, boy, look at that creativity. What will it be like in the presence of the Creator when his glory fully rests on all of his people and we work in harmony together? Can't begin to imagine what God's people can do. And think about the intimacy. You will know, Paul says, even as you are known. One of the glories of heaven is that you will be fully known and understood. And there will be no shame in that. We will have an intimacy of fellowship that is based on knowing and understanding each other fully. That's why, you see, even sexual intimacy will be transcended. We will discover what it is in a new way to know the depths of another person and to be known and to be understood and to be accepted fully and completely. It will be for all eternity. You will know joy without interruption in a life that will never end. Now, this is our destiny. Well, notice how Peter ends. Two things, and then we're through. Notice first, having come to this theme of glory, he ends up with an expression of praise to God, and that's where this should leave us first. Verse 11, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you've suffered a little while, he will himself restore you, and he'll make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You see what he's saying? God will bring you through everything you face from here to there. You may suffer. You may go through overwhelming trials. You may find that the enemy has attacked you and injured you in many ways. But God himself will restore you. God will make you strong. God will make you steadfast. The hardest trial you face in this life is a passage on the way to this eternal destiny. You may feel right now that you're limping on the journey. You may feel exhausted in the journey. You may feel that life has knocked the stuffing out of you, but there is a God who restores. He restores my soul. He will bring you through what may seem overwhelming to you now. He will make you strong and firm and steadfast. He is able to bring you to glory, and he will do it. And that's why Peter says to him, be the power forever and forever, because it's by that power that he's going to bring you through all the stuff that you face right now and right into his immediate presence. And then as he glorifies God who will do this, he ends in verse 14 by saying, peace to all who are in Christ. There is peace because when whatever the difficulties of your life, you know what the ultimate outcome of it will be. And when you know the destination, you will not mind the pain of the journey.
An encouraging way to wrap up today's message, looking at the power and the peace of Jesus. This message is called New Destiny, and it's the final in our series, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can always go back and listen through our website, which is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported. We're able to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd like to offer you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, the book is based on 1 Peter, but where did the idea of the book come from?
Well, that came from my pastor, Derek Prime, who's now with the Lord. He was convinced that the best way to help a new believer get established in the faith was to take that person through the first letter to Peter. And he had very good reasons for believing this. Here's a letter in the New Testament that addresses all of the basics of the Christian life and brings them together in one place. And of course, there are many, many good resources that help people get established in the Christian faith. Often they take verses from different parts of the Bible, and it can be quite confusing. You know, if you're a new believer, look up this verse in Hebrews and then look up something else in the Gospels and something else from Isaiah in the Old Testament. What's really helpful and what I learned from my pastor is teach a person to learn from one part of the Bible. And as they learn to learn from one part of the Bible, they'll be able on their own to go on and learn from other parts of the Bible as well. And 1 Peter is just a marvelous place to start. And it begins so wonderfully with the theme of living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it really does address everything that a new Christian needs to get hold of in order to pursue a life of following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-673-6365. Again, our website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 1-877-OPEN-365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. You can tell what kind of bird you're looking at by looking at its distinguishing marks. So what are the distinguishing marks of a Christian? Find out next time on Open the Bible.